This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are here with Boise Mayor Dave Beter, who is our guest this morning in the Next Title Studio. Morning, Mayor.
Morning.
All right, let's just do a little recap on Treefort. Another not a great weather time, but another very successful event. And what's the ceiling on this? How big can it get?
You know, that's a good question. The time of year is quirky. You know, you can't count on the weather. You're going to take what you get. But they, you know, originally put it in the time to take advantage of bands going back from South by Southwest. But I just can't say enough of what a great job they do. From the very first year, they're always well organized, you know, work well with us. You know, we recognize them as our cultural ambassador because they do just such a great job. They bring, you know, new people in, new bands. They were 420 bands. It's just
amazing.
I can't believe that. You know, they've added different forts, yoga fort, ale fort. And this year they had a Nate Silver, political and sports analyst, that was just one of my, I mean, I've been reading him for 10, however long he's been writing, first rate, you know, analyst of a lot of things. So it was a great year. And, you know, brought more people in. So, like I said, they always do a good job. There's never any problems with it. I think the sky's the limit, sort of. But it's really in a good space. They're doing really well with them.
And downtown is just loaded during it. It's amazing.
It's something. I knew they brought a lot of bands, but I had no idea that that many showed up for it.
Wow, it's going to continue probably just indefinitely, right?
Yeah. They've turned a corner of sorts and made some profit in the last two, I think, because it was just privately started on their own to, you know, get some more music going and have some fun, and they've just done a great job with it.
You and the city council, it was mentioned last week, are in line for raises, and we talked about it quite a bit a week ago on Friday. Apparently, I mean, you've got one of those jobs where you know, it's very visible, and whenever your you know, financial situation is adjusted, people have an opinion about it.
Sure.
Why are you guys talking about raises right now?
Well, you know, it's like you said, it's a, you know, you try to hit the right spot, but it's, you know, it's very public, and that's the way it's designed to be. I didn't have a raise for 10 years. Made what Brent Coles made in 2002, I think, or 2000. So I, you know, especially during the downturn, it wasn't appropriate, but we've bumped it up, and now we think we can just kind of leave it alone and, you know, bump it a little for inflation over some amount of time. But we, you know, still a lot lower than peer cities. Spokane and Salt Lake are at 180 grand a piece or thereabouts. Smaller cities than us in both cases. So we're, you know, we try to hit the right note. You know, it's a, I love the job with, you know.
Well, you've been, 14 years now, right?
Yeah, 14 years. So, but like I said, we think we've hit the right note. Might have been busy online or on the air, but it wasn't. We have an open meeting about it. Three readings of the ordinance, and so it. My wife is pleased.
Wasn't a lot of pushback at the ordinance.
She didn't call us.
Not a lot of pushback at home, but we think it's in a good spot and can, you know, maybe just be bumped a little from here. But
But there's not. But there's like there's nothing unusual about it. It's not exorbitant anything like that.
Not at all. Like I said, we're tens of thousands lower than cities our size. The councils, you know,
and a good example we are.
Well, you know, one of the things you look at in a lot of things. So we're you know, we think it's in a good spot, and you know, you take some sacrifices to do this kind of work, and we understand that. But mm-hmm. I think part of that is to be able to, you know, make a decent living, because you may have fouled up whatever profession you came out of to go back to. So, like I said, I think we've hit the right note, and it ought to be able to sit pretty easy now.
Okay, time for a final check of traffic.
Back to Paul Jay and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
KBOY News time is 8:50. Idaho Talks Live. Our guest in studio is Boise Mayor Dave Beter. And let's see, Roby Creek race is coming up and having an anniversary.
Gosh, 40 years of Roby Creek, which is just amazing. Mm-hmm. They have gone from, I think, just a dozen people or so doing something crazy to making 40 years and a, you know, what is it, about 2,500, I think they have to limit it to, something around there.
Story in the paper this morning, and one guy has made them all.
All 40.
Once was enough for me.
Yeah, I thought maybe I'd do it one time, but that window's kind of closing here. I gotta get inspired. But it is amazing, and they, you know, it goes to charitable causes around town. They have a new theme every year, and it's just it's really something. And hats off to all those guys. You know, these are the kind of things we love to see, just organically homegrown.
Yep.
Let's do something like this, and they able to sustain it because it's so, you know, it hits something really, really natural for our area. Same with Tree Fort, same with the Hyde Park Street Fair. Those kind of things we just love to see. So I'll be there singing their praises and starting them out.
And watching them leave.
And watching them leave, exactly.
The ballpark downtown, what's the status on that? And what do you think about it?
Well, I'm really excited about it. It's got a real shot. You know, we've been trying to get a project like this, you know, teed up where we could get it done. But it's never been in better shape than now. There's a hats off to St. Luke's because they've worked with the owner developer to. They have about 11 acres over there that they're not. It's not in their future plans with some other moves they've made. And the so that's been a huge part, to find that kind of size of land, a parcel, you know, in the core of downtown is really hard, especially now where things are moving along so fast. So that is in the works, but it's pretty secure that they'll make a deal to at least they'll put some money down and they'll hold it for a period of time. And that, assuming that goes, which is in the next 3-4 weeks or so, then we've got a chance to really dig in and put the full deal together. It'd be CCDC, the Auditorium District, the city, obviously the owner and developer. But we want to make it multi-purpose with baseball and soccer and lacrosse and other kinds of things to play there. I just couldn't say enough about the site, too. I think the site is ideal.
Yeah.
Right by the river, right off the greenbelt, right off the connector. I think it's got a real shot, and we're going to be working real hard over the next, you know, several months. But it's in the best, got the best chance it's ever had in the time I've been here. And it's an exciting project. A lot of interest in it and a lot of excitement about it. There's a Auditorium District election in May, so that'll be two spots open. They all run on a slate in the top two voters, so that'll be a piece of it too, but it's got a real chance.
Day before yesterday, you were at the river campus there, the Boise Watershed. What's next?
Yeah, it's the second phase of the watershed, and it's an amazing project. They bring part of the educational curriculum in the valley that bring school students in, show them the whole cycle of how water is used and and renewed, and it's got more public art than any place in the state. Just the everything's come together. A good chunk of it is privately funded. It's just for either younger people or anybody, get a chance, spend a couple hours out there. It takes you through the whole cycle. It's funny. It's interactive. There's all this really interesting public art, and it is a great project and something that, you know, growing up here when the river wasn't clean and wasn't a place where you wanted to hang out when I was really young, to seeing it getting cleaner and cleaner and people understanding how important it is. And this is a great piece of that. So people really grow up with that awareness that what happens with water, how important it is.
Now that's water. Let's turn to fire. Fire Training Center is open.
That's another great thing.
You've broken ground anyway.
We did. Yeah. We just broke ground. You know, one of the things you want to see to is the safety and the training of your first responders. And firefighters do such a great job, but we need to make sure that they're equipped at the highest levels we can get them. And that's what this training center is all about. Hats off to the voters who approved the bond that got us the fund to build this. So we're excited. It'll be about a year and we'll cut a ribbon, but it'll really ensure that our firefighters are the best trained, best equipped all around. So it's a great, great day.
Talking about the history of the river, we'd be nice to keep it in the banks in the next couple of weeks.
It would. It's
a couple of months.
It's kind of a wild time. You know, we were talking before, this cold weather is the greatest thing happening right now.
People may not like it, but it's saving our bacon.
And I was out at Bora High. The spring sports people are just, you know, it's awful. But it's supposed to be cool for the next 8-10 days. That could really help a bunch. But it's going to be till maybe even through July.
Oh, yeah?
Or at least till July, till we know. So we encourage people to stay off the green belt. Stay away from it. Stay tuned so you know what the status is.
Mayor, thanks for taking time today.
Thanks for having me. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Open phones Friday starts after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 6-7 KBOI.
Time of the morning, 9:06. Got to got to mention this. Through 16 holes today, former Boise State golfer Graham Dillette, 4-under par today, 10-under par in the tournament.
Wow.
In the RBC Heritage in South Carolina, has a 2-shot lead over Ian Poulter and Webb Simpson. So 2 strokes to the good. Troy Merritt has not teed off yet today. He isn't even par, but Graham Dillette on the lead by 2.
Love to see the Boise State alums doing things like that.
No question.
Well, I mean, you know, like, what is it, the last 20 years, so many of them have succeeded in the NFL, too. It's getting kind of fun.
Yep. Open phones Friday. Give us a call, whatever's on your mind today, 336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI. That's 1-800-529-5264, #670. A free call on Verizon Wireless.
Got an instant message here from Dave of Boise. He says, a while back, I said there should be mandatory firearm education in this country. I have thought about it every day since then. I would like to know if there is a way I could get that done for our country. I can't think of a more important thing to be teaching the children and adults if they want it in this country. Maybe the adults could take a night course for a small fee, just for example. I can't understand the logic in not teaching proper handling of a firearm. I think it should be introduced in the very earliest school for children and go with them just like math or any other curriculum that a child must go through. I don't have children and I don't know how I could get this done, but I wish someone would take it seriously and make it happen. It also does not matter if your child has no guns in the house. It should be taught regardless of the parents' own firearms or whether the parents own firearms or not. How could it hurt? Well, when I was in seventh grade,
a lot of people
I mean, it didn't start. It didn't start kindergarten or first grade. But when I was in seventh grade, we had a firearms course, and it was for everybody in seventh grade.
You know where I learned? Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Well, we did it there too. Yeah.
And Todd's nodding his head too. And yeah. Boy Scouts was great. I mean, I enjoyed it so much in Boy Scouts that I bought a 22 bolt action single shot. Rifle.
Where I went to Boy Scout camp, they had a rifle range, and yeah, that's what we did. We went out there and learned and practiced. And
yeah, that was great. That was great.
Somebody told me to aim just a little bit low and to the left because, you know, there was something about the sight or something.
Oh, yeah.
The guy gave me this advice, and it was one of the instructors. He said, aim just a little bit low and to the left. So I did, and I fired all my shots, and then I went and got my target, and every one of the holes in the paper was low and to the left. You know, had I aimed for the middle,
you probably would have hit the middle.
Yeah, but I was you know taking the advice of people that I assumed knew better than I, which they did.
Gun, knowing how to use guns, tremendous.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Larry of Napa. Larry, good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. What I called about was my grandfather was telling me years ago they used to dredge that river in the fall. They with a drag line, and they would really clean it out, take trees and all out. And just like the farmer, you know, in the spring, he cleans all of his ditches out.
Sure.
And everything. They get better flow. And another thing, it also, that river gets so high and gets back in all these pockets, they'd save a lot of fish, too, because as the water goes down, these fish get caught in these pockets.
Yeah, they do.
And I've seen kids down there getting all these fish out. And that's what nobody understands why they don't do that anymore. They would really work that over and everything.
I think they do a lot more than they used to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And another quick note. My neighbor's all getting a kick out of this. That guy they kicked off the plane.
Yes.
They should have stripped him and put diapers on him and throwed him out in the street and put on his butt and crybaby on it. The whole neighborhood's just laughing about that. You know, I guess he got his license taken away for his doctor's license, whatever you call it, for drugs, selling drugs.
Prescription, yeah.
Yeah, he just out for the bucks is what he's out for. And he probably get it, too.
Yeah, he probably will. And I can't agree with you. You can't beat up people on a plane. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
Instead of beat him up, they should have stripped him, put a pair of diapers on him, throwed him out the door, and a crybaby on the back. See, that wouldn't have hurt him. Might have hurt his ego a little bit, but anyway.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Hey, anyway, that's all I got to say anyway. But, hey, you guys have a nice day.
All right. You too.
You too.
Not a lot of warm fuzzy for that guy on this show.
That's one thing that we've found in the last few days here is that
kind of surprised.
People seem to either have 100% empathy for this gentleman or zero. Nothing in between.
Yeah. Here's the deal. You can't beat up people on an airplane. I'm sorry. You can't go mug people on an airplane. You can extract them, whatever. And should he have gotten off? Hell yes. Mm-hmm. Did he get off? No.
Right.
Did he deserve a broken nose, two lost teeth,
no.
and a concussion? No, you can't do that.
Mistakes were made on all sides. I mean,
that's Gestapo stuff there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can't do it. Can't do it. All right, let's go to Dan of Meridian. Dan, good morning.
Well, good morning, guys. Good Friday morning to you. Wanted to make a comment about the flooding in the Boise River and the Army Corps of Engineers. See, I was on the website and was checking the levels of especially Arrow Rock Reservoir, which, of course, feeds into Lucky Peak.
Right.
The reservoir is only 50% full.
Right.
And they're not really, this is kind of a dirty little secret here. I think if most people actually drove up to Arrow Rock Reservoir, they'd be a little ticked off about the flooding. You know, they're always talking, or they have been talking about how fast the snow supposedly will melt, when it will melt. It will take literally months to fill up that reservoir up at Arrow Rock if you were to completely shut the flow off coming out of it. So, you know, to me, this is all about the dollars. And
who's getting the dollars?
The city of Boise, Ada County.
Oh, emergency dollars! I see.
Exactly. See, because Governor Otter went to the federal government and said, "We need disaster relief. We've had a really bad winter. We've had storm damage, ice damage, all kinds of things. We got turned down." well, if we get flooding, that's going to cause all these issues in Boise and along the river and Ada Canyon County, all of a sudden it changes the dynamic, and now we can get some federal dollars here.
But meanwhile, Arrow Rock is not spilling over.
Well, it can't be, Chris. It can't be full now. That's ridiculous.
It's only 50% full.
Well, that's probably about right, I would think. I guarantee you, I don't know how, and it doesn't take months to fill up Arrow Rock. I'm sorry. Not with the snow that we have up on top right now.
Go look at the flow coming into Arrow Rock.
Well, it's cold still.
Yeah, but we also have
it's in the 20s at night up in the mountains.
We also have Anderson Ranch Reservoir.
Right.
Those two reservoirs feed into Lucky Peak. I guarantee you, Paul Jay, at no time this year.
How do you know this? These people study that. The Corps of Engineers.
I don't want to argue with you. I'm just saying. And look at the level. You monitor this level every couple of weeks of Arrow Rock and Anderson Ranch. It will never be full. I guarantee it.
Well, it can't be full. When it's full, there's no room for error.
Well,
you can't have it full.
Here's the issue. You're trying to predict the weather about how fast the snow will melt.
True.
How warm it will be.
True.
Well, okay, if they're trying to predict the weather, did they predict the winter we were going to have? No, you can't. So what they're doing is, my wife calls this borrowing trouble. You're doing something now and causing trouble now in anticipation of more trouble later. We've got three reservoirs. You can regulate the flow.
You can only do that to a certain extent.
I'm telling you, Paul Jay, at any time, no time this year, will that reservoir be full. I guarantee it.
Well, it shouldn't be. It can't be full.
Well, why
because
can't it
you,
be?
Because you have no room for error if it's full.
But later, you can release more. Why release it all now when you've got three different dams that come into the
Boise
River?
If it goes to 85 degrees tomorrow...
it won't happen.
Well, you can say that, but it may or may not. And I got to agree, I haven't done the year-by-year studies and the stream flows and all of that, but I know the psychology that you can't have the reservoirs full when you got a lot of snow up there. All right, got to run. Thanks for the call.
And this might be the only chance we have to have it somewhat normal by August.
Yeah. 9:16.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code GOOD, as in Good Friday.
Yeah.
GOOD. Ought to be able to handle that, huh? Go to 670KBOI.com, enter the word GOOD, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Every line is full.
Let's go to one of them then.
All right. Let's go to Diane of Eagle. Diane, good morning.
Hey, it's snowing out here. I don't know if it's snowing in Boise, but...
No.
Some parts of Boise it is, yeah.
So, anyway, I have a comment about the flooding.
Sure.
I live in Eagle, and I saw my neighbor rolling out this big, long, yellow tube and sticking his hose up to it, and then, because we live right by the river, so I walked out, and I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, I had back surgery, so I can't use sandbags. They're too heavy for me, so I put this out. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, it's a water diversion flood tube, and you put it down, and you don't have to use sandbags. So I said, well, where'd you get it? And he said, well, I looked on Amazon, and they said that it was back ordered, so I called the company direct. I said, okay, where'd you get it? And he said, don't you love people that do that? There's a company in Meridian that makes them. And I guess you can go there and pick them up.
Oh.
You know, and this is a true story. 10, 12 years ago, my wife invested some money in a company that had basic interlocking things that looked kind of like those concrete things out on the freeway. But they were made out of heavy plastic, and they interlocked, and you filled them with water, and they were used for the same thing. And we lost our butt.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, That's not good. But so
no, but it's
so
the same
anyway,
principle.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is. So the fella told me that it's the same people that make rafts, and it's trying to think the name of it, Air. He said, just go down there. They have a factory in Meridian, and you can get them if your back doesn't allow you to put down sandbags. So
yeah, and it's Air is AIRE.
Yeah, it's Air, and I guess they have like an industrial thing, and they're cranking them out for, you know, all over creation. So so just a resource for people that can't fill sandbags, because they're awful heavy, and for somebody that's had back surgery or older like me, it seems to be working pretty well. So cross our fingers.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Diane.
I'm thinking just for anybody who doesn't feel like lifting sandbags.
Well, and the nice thing is when the threat is over, then you let the water out, and then you've got them filled with air, and they're still not heavy. The only time they're heavy is when they're down and in place.
Instant message from Dave of Boise. He says, we just had a record snowfall, so why are people acting like they are caught off guard with the flooding that's now occurring?
Yeah.
What do people think happens when snow melts?
Yeah.
Nature has provided a solution, but people have to build things in those areas and then complain about it and cost us lots of money. Sometime I don't think we are very smart for being the dominant intelligence on the planet Earth.
Yeah, the solution is the floodplain. And if you don't think like our first caller this morning, if you don't think this reservoir system works, look at some pictures from the 40s and 50s.
Oh, boy.
When Boise would flood like every third year, and Ann Morrison Park would be completely underwater all the way up to that bluff.
Right.
Rim Crest, I think it is. Mm-hmm. That would all be water all the way to that bluff and all the way to the edge of downtown. River Street used to flood. You know, I mean, it was terrible, and they put the reservoirs in, and hey, no more flooding. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back, and a lot of people chiming in.
Indeed.
With information on the capacities of reservoirs, et cetera.
A few instant messages here. Bruce of Loman, first of all, says, morning, men. It's snowing quite well in Loman, Atlanta, and Featherville. I imagine it is. Mark in Meridian says that one guy, he says there are 3 million acre feet of snow water above the reservoirs and only 250,000 acre feet of storage in all of those reservoirs. So that's, what do we figure, about 12 times as much as can fill them. So it's got to be a delicate thing, I would imagine.
Yeah, so there's a lot more
snowpack
up there than...
Yeah, the hotter it gets.
Yeah.
And quickly here, HG of McCall says, living in McCall and looking to the mountains, it is going to take a lot of rain and a long time for all that snow to melt. I don't think warmth and sunshine will do it, and it will be a while until you can hike some of the National Forest trails.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'll melt a lot, though.
Yeah, it will. All right, let's go to Donnie of Meridian. Donnie of Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Just two quick comments. Otter had to veto that grocery bill because he is the biggest waster of tax dollars, and he can't possibly give up any of his play money. And Trump is Oprah reincarnated. You get bombed, you get bombed. Everybody gets bombed, and it's great to be back on top of the food chain.
Did you say and, Oprah?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I was just playing off her role. You get a car, you get a car.
You get a bomb, and you get a bomb, and you get a bomb.
Yeah.
Look under your seat and run.
All right.
Anyways, guys,
all right.
You two have a great weekend.
That was my old joke.
I'm going to remember Donnie's call, Oprah reincarnated.
I like that. That was my joke when she shut down her whole Chicago operation. You know, I said, what did she tell the employees? She told them, you get to live in your car, and you get to live in your car. Yeah.
Let's go to Bob at Twin Falls.
Nobody
Bob.
Else, nobody else laughed either.
The top of the morning. Hi, Bob.
You put Donnie back on. That was enjoyable.
I know. That was pretty funny. I like that.
My comment is about the supposedly guy that got beat up on the airplane.
Right.
You know, I listened to an airplane pilot that flies those exact planes, and he says, when you buy a ticket, the FAA, Federal Aviation
Association.
Administration, yeah.
Administration,
yeah, right.
Anyway, that they have right in the deal, if they need to fly pilots to the next airport, they can unload the plane to get them on, because it's better that a plane load of people get out of there than that many more people stranded and left setting. And he said that man was removed from the plane, then he snuck back on.
Mm-hmm. He did come back on. Actually, he wasn't completely off the plane. He was up in the front of the plane. Then he went back to his seat.
Well, this guy said he was off of the plane and snuck back on.
Well, he didn't sneak back on because I saw the video.
Yeah, he ran.
and he was going right down the middle of the aisle, and he was rather loud saying, "I'm not getting off. I'm not getting off."
Yeah, you did see what you saw, what was videoed, but he said he was taken off the plane, and then he snuck back on.
Mm-hmm.
He went back in through like he was a stewardess or something, and he got back in the plane, and then that's when he caused all that problem. And I believe the guy just won the lawsuit.
Yeah,
that's all I believe it is. I agree with the first guy from Meridian that said I should have just put a diaper on him and cry baby and.
Can't beat him up though, Bob. Can't beat people up. That's.
It wasn't the airplane people. That was the police that went in there and did that to him.
Yeah, that was the airport rent-a-cops.
Yeah. It wasn't United, and United's getting all the bad rap for it. So I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
All right. Thanks for the call. One good thing that's going to come out of this is the fact that they're going to finally address this, because anybody who has flown, and I flew for 40 years.
Yeah.
And anybody who has flown as much as I have has had several occasions.
You've seen everything.
Where planes have been oversold, where people have been taken off planes. Nobody's ever happy about it. And they do the lottery thing. Is that fair? Who knows? But they can't do that. They can't oversell flights. That's the basic problem. If you need to hold four seats, and put standby people on them at the very last minute, that's tremendous. But you can't boot people off their seats.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It's not fair. I know it's the law, but it's not fair.
I know it costs an awful lot to fuel up and to fly a jet. I'm just wondering, and I asked this the other day, I still don't know, what is the margin that these people are working on that they have to oversell all the flights?
I don't know. They've done it for years. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Hey, just last week when it was warm, there was more water going into the reservoirs than we could let out. I don't know what that guy was thinking of. But I want to talk about the health care. About a month ago, Mark called in. He said him and his wife make around $40,000-$45,000 a year.
Right.
And he was paying the $1,000 penalty because he couldn't afford Obamacare. Well, I was talking to some friends of mine who did the same thing. They'd been paying that penalty. They signed up for Obamacare. They're a married couple making $45,000 a year. They showed me their insurance cards, and this is what it said. Their deductible is $300.
Wow.
Office visits are $15. If you go in for preventative care, wellness visits, you pay zero. If you go to an instant care, you pay $25. If you go to emergency room, you pay $250. For about another $900 a year over that fine, he could have got that kind of insurance. I was surprised how good Evans it was, because that is cheap. $300 deductible.
Yeah. Mine is $4,000.
Yeah, but it said that right on their cards they carried in their wallets. That's the information. It didn't give the how much money they made a year. They told me that. But all the rest of it was right off that card. And they were the same way. They'd paid that fine for 2 years because, we're not going to go get no Obamacare. And I kept talking them into it. And finally, they went and checked it out.
Well, the whole thing is check it out.
Yeah, they're, I don't know how old Mark is. They're Oh, they're probably in their early 50s, you know. So
I don't think Mark's quite that old. I've met him in person. I think he's in his 40s, maybe.
So his insurance might be less, but I was kind of amazed that it was that good of a policy. I mean, that's better than anything I've ever had.
Yeah, that's a pretty good policy right there. All right, thanks, Rich. We need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. Lions are jammed. Let's go to Randy of Magic Valley. Randy, good morning.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I don't want to waste any time. There's, I guess, a little bit of information about something that is actually, I realize this water is very troubling and could be very, you know, we're so far from being out of the woods, it's scary. But there's a good thing to this. There's 82,751 square miles in Idaho, and there's 52,960,000 acres. And every year, we try to recharge the aquifer. And the intent is to get up to 250,000 acre feet. And if you know what that is, 258,000 acre feet would be 250,000 acres a foot deep. And so in the last couple of years, we've recharged up 50,000 acre feet, 66,000 acre feet. But this year, the entire state of Idaho has been covered with snow numerous times. So let's say that we had that much acre feet that absorbed into the ground, not counting in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And then all of, we've been recharging because of the fact that we had so much water, we really didn't know what to do with it. So where we do have these things, where we can recharge, it's quite detailed, and I don't know all of it. But you see, that is a positive thing. And so, if we were able to recharge the aquifer, let's face it, when we turn on the water in our house, where does it come from? It comes from the ground. And so this is a positive thing. One quick note, every year the Bureau of Reclamation, the environmentalists, force us to run 250,000 acre feet of water down to the ocean, down the Snake into the Columbia, whether or not we have it or not. This year we have roared so much down there, who would know at this point? They would know. The Bureau of Reclamation would know. But, this year it was all right. But there's years in the past when we don't even have it to give, whether or not it's actually doing anything for the fish or not. There's really, I guess there's some environmentalists that could call in and tune me up. But just a little something for information. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, thanks.
Scott in Parma says the river has inundated my property on the river, and an Army Corps levee is breached on my property. This could have been mitigated some if they had released more water in December when they knew we had 149% snowpack in the mountains. I am not crying, just have 100 I can't plant because of someone else's mistake, probably 100 plants.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dave of Middleton. Dave, good morning.
Hey, I was listening to Butch Otter the other day on Nate Shulman, and he never really explained the fact where when he took over in 2008, he had a $400 million surplus, and now in 2017, the beginning of 2017, they only have a $3 million surplus. Where do you think the $370 million went over 9 years?
I don't have any idea.
How come you should get Butch Otter on and bring him onto your show and ask him maybe to go by year basis on to break that down where all that money went, especially if they're saying they don't have enough money to repeal the grocery tax because we won't have enough money to cover it. So where'd the $370 million go?
Yeah, I think with the grocery tax thing, I just think he thought we were giving away too much money. I mean, is it a tax cut? Yeah. Does it benefit everybody in the state? Yeah. mostly benefits businesses on borders.
And mostly it benefits people that are on lower incomes.
There you go. There you go. All right, yep.
So, Butch Otter, where's our $370 million?
That's right. Dave wants to know, and he wants to know now. Thanks, Dave.
Mike in Boise says, the people Rich is talking about got a great deal on insurance. Everybody does not get such a good deal. So good for them, but that's not the case for everybody. I can't afford it, and I can't afford the fine, so I don't know what's going to happen, and I am very worried about it.
Well, apparently, you know, we had the story earlier where you couldn't file taxes this year if you didn't pay the fine,
mm-hmm.
and they've taken that away, so you can file taxes without paying the fine. And then
but you will still end up owing the fine. You just don't have to be sure and send it in on April 15th or 18th this year.
However that works.
Yeah.
And it works some. So, who knows? It's amazing.
And let's see. Edward in Meridian says, whether to teach climate change, okay, but teach that it occurs. Use your sense of reason. The climate has continued to change for millions of years. Go southeast of Flagstaff, Arizona, to the petrified forest in the middle of the desert. Large, now petrified, trees were obviously once a rainforest until the climate changed.
Yep.
Not because of industry, vehicles, or other man-caused happenings. A theory is that carbon dioxide causes climate change. Think a little deeper.
Snowpack, 6 times capacity left in the lakes. Morse Creek summit snow depth. 96 inches, Trinity Mountain, 138 inches. A lot of water up there.
Indeed.
See you next week.